It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship. We appreciate especially those who are visiting. We're glad that you've chosen to be with us, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. That song that we just sang, I remember singing a lot as a child. We're going to use the words of that song as the basis of our lesson this morning that I've entitled A Tale of Two Seas. If you'd like to open up in your songbook again to that song number 641, I want to point out some things regarding the wording there, and then we'll get into the scripture in just a minute. 641 in your songbook, and I'm thankful for Phil and leading us in that song. The first two verses of this song are anonymous. We don't know who wrote them, but in 1921, a member of the church, Lula Klingman, who later became married to a man named Zahn, she was a member of the church up in Louisville. She wrote the third verse. And the thought of this song is very important for us today and very biblical. We're going to talk about two different seas in Palestine. Some of you have traveled there and have seen these in person. And we're going to ask the question this morning, which one are we? Verse 1 talks about the Sea of Galilee. And there are two prominent seas in Palestine that are mentioned many times in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. On this map, you'll notice the Sea of Galilee in the north receives water north of it, above it, coming down into the Sea of Galilee, and then it drains out the southern end and flows on down toward the Dead Sea. Verse 1 is talking about the Sea of Galilee. Verse 2 is talking about the Dead Sea, or the Salt Sea, down in the south. It receives only. It gets its water from the Jordan River that has been coming down from the Sea of Galilee, that has been coming down from northern Palestine, starting up around Mount Hermon area, travels all the way down. The lowest point in Palestine, well below sea level, and so the gravity is taking the water all the way down, and when it gets down to the bottom there, it doesn't leave the end of the Dead Sea. It receives only. Verse 1 is about the Sea of Galilee, and verse 2 is about the Dead Sea. Here's a satellite picture. South of the Dead Sea, you'll see some farming going on there because it is a lower area. There is still some farming to this day, but the water does not leave the end of that southern end of that Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee receives water and then it gives water. The Dead Sea receives water only. Which sea are you? Which one am I? Of course, some of you have been over there and traveled around the Sea of Galilee. It's a very beautiful place. There's a lot of fishing there. We know about Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, and there's a lot of fertile land around, and you'll notice in this picture the greenery and the beautiful nature of the Sea of Galilee. And it was a sea that provided fish, which was a very common meal in Palestine, not only in Bible times, but today, and so it's a very fruitful area. But of course, when you get down to the Dead Sea, it's a little different. And the water is so salty that it builds up salt deposits around the edge of the lake. And it's called the Dead Sea because there's nothing living in it. Look in this picture and look out in that water. Look how clear that water is. Why is that water clear? There's no algae in it. Why is there no algae in it? It's salty. It's nothing can grow there. So not only is there salt around the edge, but the water is very clear. And you're thinking, man, that is a really beautiful body of water. It's clear because it's dead. Look in our psalm books, verse 1. There is a sea. It's speaking of the Sea of Galilee, which day by day receives the rippling rills. It receives mountain water and beautiful water from northern Palestine. Streams that spring from wells of God. Or fall from cedared hills north of the Sea of Galilee. There's a lot of cedars in Lebanon. It's a beautiful area, and water is coming down into the Sea of Galilee. But what it thus receives, it gives. With glad, unsparing hand. It gladly gives. It gives freely. Not sparingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Kind of reminds you of that wording a little bit. Unsparing. A stream more wide with deeper tide flows on to lower land. It's almost as if the water continues to gain and get bigger and deeper. You may remember down as it gets down toward Jericho, it was deep enough to where the water had to be parted and divided there for the children of Israel to go over into Canaan land. So that's the first sea. Look at the second verse. The Dead Sea. There is a sea, the Dead Sea, which day by day receives a fuller tide. But all its store it keeps nor gives to shore nor sea beside. It's a taker only. It's Jordan stream, now turned to brine or salt, lies heavy as molten lead. Its dreadful name doth e'er proclaim, that sea is waste and dead. And then this member of the church in 1921 wrote the third verse and had heard this song or had read these verses, and she's beginning to think, okay, so which sea is it for us? Which shall it be for you and me who God's good gifts obtain? We get all kinds of things from God, and we're going to talk about some of those this morning. We get all kinds of nice things from God. Are we the Sea of Galilee that then turns around and gives it to others? Or are we the Dead Sea that just takes it only, take, 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 and never gives it away? And as a result, we're really dead. We're really dead. Who God's good gifts obtain, shall we accept for self alone, like the Sea of the Dead Sea, or take to give again? Like the Sea of Galilee. It's a great question. When we get up each day, are we viewing ourselves as a channel? We're going to sing a song of invitation here in just a minute based on that. We're a channel. We're supposed to be a channel. A channel is from which something flows through. Water flows through a channel. A conduit. Do we view ourselves as takers only? Or do we view ourselves as receiving good things from God, and then in our marriage and in our children and at work and in the community and in the church, I'm going to turn around and give that. It's going to flow through me. It's not going to stop with me. It's not going to be like the Dead Sea and just stop and die. It's going to flow on, and I'm going to be a channel through which God works. Think about that. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians here in just a minute. Think about God working through you and me today. That is impressive. The Almighty God of the universe, who can do anything He wants, anytime He wants, chooses to work through us. That is amazing. You stop and think about that. We think about God working. We think about miracles, and we think about providence and things like that. And all of that's true. But have you ever thought about God chooses sometimes to work through you? And you or me or I, we are either that channel upholding that work through which it goes, or it just stops. That is impressive. that God wants to do that with us. We'll look at a verse in just a minute on that. And then the author of this song brings out Jesus Christ. For he who once was rich indeed, Jesus in heaven before coming to the cross, laid all his glory down, that by his grace the ransomed race should share his wealth and crown. Jesus was not a taker. We read around the Lord's table this morning in Philippians 2, 5 and following that he was a giver. And he humbled himself to become obedient even unto death for us. Which shall it be for you and me? This morning I want us to talk about the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Which are you? This principle of receiving and giving is biblical. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15, for example. This idea that God wants us to be receivers and then turn around and be givers, that is a biblical principle in both Testaments. For example, God wanted Old Testament Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 9. Beware that there be not a base thought in thy heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou give him naught, and he cry unto Jehovah against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing Jehovah thy God will bless thee in all thy work and in all thou puttest into thy hand. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Jesus references that. The poor you always have with you. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt surely open thy hand unto thy brother, to thy needy, and to thy poor in thy hand. You have been blessed, verse 10, turn around and open your hand to others. Look at chapter 16 and verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able. Look at this. According to the blessing of Jehovah thy God, which he hath given thee. So God gives you blessings and then you turn around and give. It's a principle that is found all throughout the Bible. Look at the scripture reading that we had this morning in Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs chapter 11, we are blessed by God and we need to turn around and give those and share those with others. In Proverbs 11:24, there is he that scatters and increases yet more. And there is he that withholds, the Sea of Galilee, more than his meat, but it tendeth only to want. The liberal soul, the generous soul, the giving soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Look at that principle. We give away, the Sea of Galilee down on the southern end is giving it away, but more is coming in the top. And as we are givers and givers, the proverb says we're going to be given to. The principle of receiving and giving is biblical. God never wants us to be like the Dead Sea that is a taker only. And in a world today where that is common, where it's about me and it's about the focus on me, we need to be mindful of that. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30, just as a side note. This is not on the PowerPoint, but because of our modern society, I'm reminded of Proverbs 30, verse 15. The horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. Underscore that in your Bible. Give me, give me. There are three things that are never satisfied. Give, give, give. Yeah. I'm a taker. Give me, give me, give me. But I'm not going to turn around and give to somebody else. Because my society is conditioning me to be a receiver only. We've got to be conditioned by God's Word. Paul, talking to the elders in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, said, in referencing the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the principle is found in John chapter 17 when Jesus was praying there for the disciples before going into the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayer before the prayer. In John 17 and verse 8, "For the words which thou gavest me, I have given unto them." Jesus is saying, "Heavenly Father, you have given me words, and I've turned around and given them unto the apostles." Look at verse 12. "While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition. You gave me your name, and I've turned around, and I've given it unto them." Verse 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hated them. You gave me your word, and I gave it to them." Verse 22, "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them." The principle of receiving and turning around and giving the same thing. Jesus lived by that principle. And then in verse 26, "And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known." Look at this. "And the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them." The love you gave me, I've given to them. We're going to talk about love more in just a minute. But brethren, the principle is, we're to be like the Sea of Galilee, not the Dead Sea. And I want us to be thinking about when we get up each day, we're going to make contact most likely with somebody. There may be a day from time to time where you just don't contact anybody. That's possible. But typically we're coming in contact with somebody. People we know, people we don't know. Let's start getting up each day thinking, when I am literally in somebody's presence, how can I be channeling God's blessings through me to them in things that I say and that I do? That's how God wants us to help the world. We talk so much about being salt and light and being an example and all that, but how? How practically? By letting God's blessings flow through us to them. It's a biblical principle. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Often when we talk about the different promises to Abraham, sometimes we forget about the last part of Genesis chapter 12. We're thinking about the land promise and the nation promise and the seed promise, and all of those are good things. But look at the last part of Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee will I curse. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." But also notice verse 2. "And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great." Underscore this in your Bible. "And be thou a blessing." It wasn't just simply Abraham's going to get some stuff. He's going to get a land promise and a nation promise and a seed promise. Verse 2, he's supposed to turn around and be a blessing to others. And you know how he was that? In Romans chapter 4, when Paul says that we are to walk in the steps of Abraham, when Abraham, from Genesis 12 to 22, and everywhere in between, lived the faithful life of God, and he showed people how to walk by faith, he was a blessing to people that he came in contact with. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. We are to be a channel through which we bless others. Sometimes we forget about that. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Shall be blessed in him. And part of that, verse 19, is because as a parent, he's commanding his children properly when we have the proper home environment. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 8. Old Testament Israel lost sight of this very often. They began to often live for themselves, but God actually wanted them to be a light to the nations. There's several prophets that speak about how that Israel was to be a light to the nations. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 8, and let's see what Israel was to be to the people around them. They were to be a channel through which people could learn about the name of God and even come to Jerusalem and worship if they wanted to be a channel of blessing. There are several great thoughts here. We're just going to read the last part, Zechariah 8:23. Thus says Jehovah of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations. They shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We want to come to Jerusalem. Verse 21, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of Jehovah. Let's go to Jerusalem. Israel was to be a light and a blessing, and they could get people to come who even weren't Jews. They often lost sight of that. And they had to be taken away with an Assyrian captivity and a Babylonian captivity. They lost sight of their mission. They lost sight of the big picture and the goal. Why am I here on this earth? They lost sight of that. And Zechariah is reminding them to come back to that. We find the same principle in the New Testament. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. God is wanting to work through you and work through me. When we are baptized into Christ and come up out of that water, we are to be zealous of good works. And one of those works is God working through us. Yes, He does things on His own. He does things on His own through providence. He does not involve us. He doesn't need us for those things. The almighty hand of God can do all kinds of things by Himself, but He also wants to work through us. Little old me, humble me. And we need to remember that. Paul remembered that and reminds the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. With regard to his travels and his plans. For how many soever be the promises of God, in him is the yea, wherefore also through him is the amen, unto the glory of God. Now he that established us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. God wants to work in and through the Apostle Paul. Look at chapter 2 and verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And look at this. And makes manifest through us the savor of His knowledge in every place. We're going to talk about the Word of God in just a minute. Look at chapter 9, the chapter that we often read on the contribution. In chapter 9, in verse 11, you being enriched in every good thing and everything unto all liberality, which worketh through us, thanksgiving to God. When we give, and we give toward those who are needy saints, Paul says it works through us thanksgiving to God. Brethren, I want us to be a channel. I want us to be a conduit, not a reservoir, not something that just takes, give me. But it's passing through us on to others. Which sea are you? Let's look at some of the things that God gives. The sea that receives and gives, the Sea of Galilee. We are to receive God's Word and then give God's Word. What are we doing with our daily Bible readings? Is it just for me only, or am I doing daily Bible readings so I can turn around and give that to others? What am I doing with the sermons when my Bible is open? What am I doing with the Bible class when my Bible is open and I'm learning from Hebrews chapter 7 and Bob is taking us through and there's some great stuff, but then what am I going to do with that? Is it just for me only? Or do I have a family member that would be good to talk with them about? Do I have a coworker or a classmate? You know, that would be good for them to talk with them about. Am I doing personal evangelism, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4? Am I going everywhere preaching the Word? The word had been preached in the first few chapters of the book of Acts, and Christians were getting the word from the apostles. They turned around and they didn't say, well, I got a bunch of word. They turned around and went and spread it to others. You know, another good thing that we can do here at Warfield Boulevard is to be a Bible class teacher. And we've just gone through Hebrews chapter 5, whereby reason some of you ought to be teachers. But no, they weren't growing and they weren't using the word that had been taught them to learn and grow and then turn around and teach others. One way we can do it is spreading the word outside this building. Another way we can do it is to be a teacher, to volunteer to teach. All those classes that I'm sitting in, what am I using that information for? What am I using all of those adult classes for? I'm in the adult class and I've learned this book and I've learned that book and learning this topic and that. What am I doing with that? I can be using that to teach others in this building, our young people in the Bible classes. We always need teachers. Let's not just simply receive God's word. Let's receive it and then turn around and give it. You know, we're to receive God's love and then turn around and give it. And love in the New Testament is not just some sappy, syrupy, sweet, sentimental feeling. It is an emotion that causes us to sacrifice and give and serve. Turn with me to John 13 and verse 34. This comes out a lot in John's Gospel and epistles. This matter of God's love. In John 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So they were the recipients of Jesus' love. Now they're to turn around and love others with it. This principle of receiving and then turning around and giving, we find the same thing in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, if you'll turn with me there. God's sacrificial love, we need to turn around and give sacrificial love to others and walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. Christ loved you, you turn around and have that same sacrificial love toward others. But in today's world, it's all about selfishness. It's me first. I take care of number one. You're way down the list somewhere. I'm watching out for number one. Well, had God taken that approach or Jesus taken that approach, we wouldn't be saved, would we? Wasn't that the whole point of Philippians chapter 2, 5 and following, that he was willing to empty himself to give up the grandeur and glory of heaven, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, to give up those riches in heaven and become poor? Isn't that the whole point? And that's what love does. But the point is, we get all of that from God and Jesus. We need to turn around and be giving that to others. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. There are different places here in Chapter 4, where this principle is mentioned. We'll just look at verse 9. Herein was the love of God manifested in us. The love of God is His love for us. The love of God manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And when you come on down to verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We turn around and give it away. Verse 16, and we know that we have believed the love which God has in us. God is love, and he that abides in his love abides in God, and God abideth in him. We've got to give that away and show that to others. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. We're the recipients of God's mercy, and we need to be willing to turn around and give that. Mercy is not overlooking sin. Mercy is not turning a blind eye towards sin. Mercy is not condoning sin. But mercy is being kind and gentle and caring. And when someone wants to make a change and someone is willing to repent and someone is willing to come and make those changes, I need to be merciful because I've been the recipient of that. Be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful. And judge not, and you shall not be judged, and condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Release, and you shall be released. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Look at that principle. Give. The Sea of Galilee is a giver. It gives away, but it's going to get some more. And the principle here that is being established, Jesus is saying, you people are recipients of all kinds of good things. Don't just hold on to it. Don't just be a reservoir, a storehouse. Give it away. Give and it shall be given unto you. Well, I'll just do a little bit. No, Jesus said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they shall give into your bosom. You're going to be richly replenished. Give it away. The specific thing he mentions here is mercy. There have been times when we've been the recipients of God's mercy, and there are times when we need to give that to others. Along those same lines, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. We've been the recipients of God's forgiveness. And we need to be willing to turn around and give that to others. And we won't go into all of the Bible passages on forgiveness, Luke 17:3 and other passages that talk about different conditions and different things that have to be considered with regard to repentance and forgiveness. I just simply want to focus on the point here, and that is, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. You're the recipients of forgiveness. Turn around and give it to others when that is necessary. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9. Daniel mentioned our material blessings around the Lord's table with the contribution. This passage in 2 Corinthians 9 is talking about all that God gives us so that we can turn around and then give our money, our contribution. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, we're very familiar with, he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully, and he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. God loves a cheerful giver. We know verse 7, but look at verse 8. God is able to make all grace, that is, the context here is giving, to abound unto you, that you having always all sufficiency in everything may abound unto every good work. As it is written, he that scatters abroad, this is a quotation from one of the Psalms. It's not a reference to God. It's a reference to us. He, us, that scatters abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness abides forever. And he that supplies seed to the sower, that's God, and bread for food, shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Look at verse 10. God supplies the seed, the blessings, the material things, and then we turn around and sow it in our giving, in our contribution. Malachi 3, some of the Jews had been robbing God. They had turned into the Sea of Galilee. I'm not going to give my tithes. Take. They were robbing God. Let's be generous in our contribution. Let's be generous in our forgiveness and our mercy and our love, and generous with God's word. Let's be generous with the talents that God gives us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 29. Some are like the Dead Sea. They're given talents, and God gives us a mind, and he gives us speech, and he gives us a body, and all kinds of things that we can use to go out and serve the Lord. But some people are like the Dead Sea, and they're like the one talent man who was afraid, verse 25, and he went out and hid his talent and buried it in the earth. I'm like the Dead Sea. I get God's talents, but I'm not going to do anything with it. No. Let's be the Sea of Galilee. And let's go out and use. Verse 29, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. This is talking about the two men that went out and used what they had and multiplied it. And they had been given some talents, and they're going out and using the talents. But from him that hath not, this is the person who buries his talent, even that which he has shall be taken away. Brethren, your voice and your mind and your body and your strength and your reasoning abilities and your communication abilities, those are talents. Let's use them in God's service. Our young people here today are so talented. Become a faithful Christian, live faithfully each and every day, and use those talents to help people around you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. There's different times in our life where we receive comfort from God. We've done that in a number of ways. We receive comfort through prayer. We receive comfort through Bible study, reading our Bible. We receive comfort from other brethren visiting us or talking to us. We receive comfort from God. And Paul says in verse 4, who comforts us in all of our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction, through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It's just simply a channel. It's a conduit. Comfort coming from God through us, and we're going to use it for others. Yes, that might involve a visit. It might involve a phone call. It might involve a text. It might involve taking some time out of our life to go do something for somebody. Absolutely. But that's how it's supposed to be. Let's not be the Dead Sea where on Monday, I got comfort from God, but on Tuesday, I'm not going to give it to anybody. I'm just the Dead Sea. I just take, take, take. Let it flow through us where God can use us every day and every hour. And then last of all, we are to receive God's example. We don't even have time to talk about all the ways in which God sets an example for us. He is light. We're to be children of light, Ephesians chapter 5. He is holy, 1 Peter 2. We are to be holy as He is holy. He has all of these attributes that we can have in our life. And then we can turn around, like Paul says, be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, we are to be seen as lights in the world. God's character of light and holiness and love and mercy and forgiveness and all things that God is that we are to be, that example should not stop with us, but should just flow through us to others. Brethren, we have family members that need this, the Word of God and all of these things. We have friends. We have co-workers. We have classmates. We have neighbors. Is it stopping with us, or is it flowing through us to them? You know, the sea that receives only the Dead Sea, and we'll close. The Dead Sea, it's dead. No life in it. Bunch of salt around the edge. Oh, you can float in it. Have you seen those pictures online of the people that go visit the Dead Sea and they're sitting there floating? The salt content is so high in that water that it provides buoyancy. People kind of just sit out there and float. There's not a whole lot else you can do with the Sea of Galilee. It's not blessed. And we're not blessed when we're a taker only. Oh, there might be some outward beauty. Remember that water on that picture? Oh, it's crystal clear. There might be some outward beauty to our life. But really, when you begin to probe deeper, it's just death. It's just, there's no blessing there. And it even loses what it has. And Jesus said this twice in his ministry on two different occasions. Even that which he has will be taken away. So let's not be that seed. Let's be a channel, not a reservoir. Let's be a channel through which God works. Let me encourage you today to take God's word and give it to others in all of these things that we've been talking about. Let it just flow. Let it just flow. Let it be a conduit. Let it be a channel. Let it not become a reservoir that just stagnates and dies. Be the Sea of Galilee, not the Dead Sea. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, as I mentioned earlier, entitled Channels Only. It's a great song and it goes along with our lesson, and I appreciate Phil leading it. Let us be a channel. And the last part says, you can use us every day and every hour. Now, Christ can only use us if we're a Christian. There may be someone here this morning that needs to be baptized into Christ, or an erring child of God to come back in some way, and we can pray and help you to come back to the Lord. The Lord can't use us if we're not a Christian, and the Lord can't use us if we're unfaithful. If we're lukewarm, if we're unfaithful, if we've got problems in our lives, He really can't use us. But when we're right with Him, and if we can help you to become that way, we can be a channel. We can be a vessel through which God operates today. If we can help you to become that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sit?